right, we got Pat Flynn, founder of smartpassiveincome.com, back in the house. What's up, Pat?
What's up, man? Thanks for having me back.
Pat, it's good to be back. You know, I just want to give you, Pat, a quick shout out. I've been following Pat for about 5-6 years since I started my journey. Last year, first year, fully self-employed. So thank you.
Hey, congrats, man. That's awesome. How's it feel? How's the year gone?
You know, when I was like 25, I was like, the best days are behind me. You know, the college and all that. It's all downhill for me. Age 40 was my favorite year yet.
Yeah, man. I am 41. And I was just having this conversation with, I don't know who it was, but you know how when you think back in high school, there was like the jocks and all the popular people then. You know, I was the one being bullied back then. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to peak ever. I want to be on the mountain that I'm continually climbing. And I think a lot of those people maybe peaked around that time. And I always feel like if I feel like I'm at the peak, I need to get on a new mountain. You know what I'm saying?
I don't disagree. It's funny. You know, you go to a high school reunion. You're like, oh, that's what they look like now. Oh, okay. Okay. No shots fired over here. I'm just reiterating that point that the best days are actually ahead of you. The future looks bright.
Yeah.
So Pat, I got to ask, man, there's something I'm very concerned about when it comes to income in the United States in particular. AI is starting to eat up a lot of time on the job. A lot of, you know, you could say, you know, is AI going to steal my job or not? And then you also have outsourcing. You know, everyone's working remotely now. I can hire someone in the Philippines for like a third of the cost, a quarter of the cost that I could hire someone in the States. So I guess my question to you is this. What are your thoughts on AI? Is AI going to be a good thing for business owners or a bad thing for business owners?
I think it can be a good thing for business owners, and it could also be a bad thing for business owners. It depends on how you want to utilize it. For me, on my end, I see it as an opportunity to work more efficiently, have a person or something that seems like a person to brainstorm ideas off of. The nice thing about it is at any time of the day, doesn't matter if it's 2 a.m. and I get an idea, I can go to ChatGPT or Claude or whoever or whatever and start to kind of have a conversation about something just to kind of help me extract these ideas that are in my brain and kind of put organization to them. Because our brains do a good job of coming up with ideas, but terrible at organizing them as they come out. That's what I feel these tools are great at. They can help me filter and organize these ideas that I have and turn them into something that may or may not be useful. Probably more specifically, I could share is I've been using it to come up with metaphors for different pieces of content. I find that metaphors are an incredible way to teach, and it's a great way to relate to people. And I've used it specifically. I've used ChatGPT to help me with the concepts that I have in my brain, create metaphors that are more relatable to my audience. In fact, I used one at Social Media Marketing World last year. They had me speak on the stage, the closing keynote about long form video versus short form video. So I go to ChatGPT and I say, hey, come up with 5 different metaphors that would relate to this idea of long form video versus short form video. And they give me a bunch of options. And my favorite one was long form videos or short form videos are like Halloween candy. You know, you go to a person's house, you get the candy, and then you move on to the next one. That's like everybody scrolling. And I was like, man, that's so good. And then it said long form videos is like when you invite somebody over to your own restaurant and you sit them down for a multi-course meal and they have an experience there with you so much so that they want to come back and then bring their friends. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is perfect. So I share that on stage and people still continue who saw me speak about that. They use that metaphor now. I wouldn't have come up with that metaphor on my own, which is great. So it didn't necessarily replace anything. It enhanced the things that I was already doing, and it's allowed me to teach and share content in more memorable ways. Now, obviously, AI and certain things that AI does is taking over other people's jobs, other humans' jobs that they had once done. One particular market or industry that I'm thinking about is like the voiceover industry. And I'm thinking about a lot of these AI tools that can copy or use different voices. A lot of video game companies, a lot of movies are even using AI voices. Why would they hire somebody? You know, so there's pros and cons. And depending on the space that you're in, I think most important, the way to combat this, if you're worried about this kind of thing, is to find the things that only humans can do and lean into that. It's the relationship building. It's the storytelling. It's the empathy that you have for your audience. No AI is really going to understand that better than a human can. So lean into those soft skills and you will be not made as redundant and have more utility in the space that you're in.
Just on the AI voice note, you know, I used 11 Labs about a year ago or so. I recorded an entire podcast episode using 11 Labs. I simulated my voice. It read off the whole script, which was generated by ChatGPT, as was the title, as was the description. The whole thing was AI generated. And at the very end of the podcast, I popped in personally and I said, oh, by the way, everything you just heard That was not me, completely AI generated. I got dozens and dozens of emails. People like, are you serious? That was a year ago.
Oh, it's even better now. It's crazy. I used it a couple of weeks ago and shared it on a YouTube video, and it's almost indistinguishable. And it's adding ums and little pauses as well. It's like people were actually in that video. The first comment was, the first clip was not AI. That was you. There's no way. Like, you don't have to be dishonest about this, Pat, for a few extra views and clicks. And I was like, no, that actually was AI. So that's how good it is that people are getting upset at me for thinking it wasn't. Anyway, it's wild out there. And I think this is, again, it speaks to the importance of relationships and building. And it also speaks into utility, just what it is that you have that is available that you can offer to whoever your audience is, or your crowd, or your people, or your boss, whatever it is. It's important to go, what is AI able to take from me? But then what are they not able to take from me? And I think it's a good time for everybody to kind of audit that in their lives right now.
Agreed there. You know, just another side note. I had a client who recorded an intro for me for their podcast that we put together at my podcast agency. But they left out what I thought was a pretty key component, like a let's start the show. And so I just cloned the voice, added it into the end. And they're like, holy crap, that sounds exactly like me. That's incredible. Yeah, shocking. But you know, I don't know if you caught this interview with Lex Fridman and Mark Zuckerberg. It came out, I don't know, a few months ago. And they kept talking about the physical world and the digital world. At least right now, there's no way AI could come in and replace me in my physical world, going, shaking hands at networking and going to events, things like that. But it strikes me that the digital world, it's becoming easier and easier and easier to replace people. I'll give you a perfect example. I want to hear what you think about this. AI influencers has become a huge craze, and it's very easy for me to create a perfect woman, video, photo. I can even text with her. You know, is that going to completely upend the entire way that people date and meet? And is the entire influencer culture doomed because of AI influencers?
Yeah, it reminds me of what was it, like a Jake Gyllenhaal movie where, I think it was Jake Gyllenhaal, or it might have been somebody else. No. Anyway, an actor who fell
Joaquin
in love
Phoenix?
With, Joaquin Phoenix, her, who fell in love with like the AI kind of Siri-like version in his house. It's interesting, you know, where I think the problem is it's so easy to do now that a lot of people are creating these AI influencers, these perfect men and women who essentially take advantage of people and their loneliness today. And that's not okay, in my opinion, and are making money off of that, right? They're monetizing these things, they're building audiences and either selling things or running ads on top of things that are essentially fake and playing on people's lonelinesses. There's loneliness epidemics everywhere right now. Japan is under a loneliness epidemic, as just I think we all can feel in the world. So in that regard, I think it's terrible, and I think it's distasteful, and I think it's just wrong. But at the same time, with the technology that's available, imagine doing something amazing with it, right? Not using it for evil, but using it for good. Imagine an AI person who is a therapist, who is helping speak with a person about the problems that they have because they have nobody else to talk to, but it unlocks some things in their brain to help them through some tough times. Like, that is amazing. That is obviously an amazing utility. So as much as we always see, and this is with everything, right? There's always a good side and a bad side. And I'm just hoping that the good side wins, which many times it does, but also many times it doesn't. I think it depends on who gets behind this and kind of the influence that they have over people's, you know, it's up for grabs right now. So anyway, I just always try to have the half glass full kind of approach to things and try to look for those positive elements. Cause I mean, think about a lot of these changes that happened in the more distant past that were pretty revolutionary and changed the world, right? When we switched from horse-drawn carriages to get around to cars, and everybody was freaking out about that, right? And yes, people lost their jobs and it changed the world, but it also changed the world for good. It allowed us to connect more and more easily travel between places and meet new people. And those turned into other things that have blossomed in this world. So again, utility and how we use these things is going to be really important. Obviously, there's a lot of dangers, and probably this is maybe a little bit more dangerous, especially when you talk about weaponization of this kind of thing and a lot of the stuff that Elon Musk specifically is worried about. I mean, Skynet and Terminator, those kinds of things are maybe not a reality, but kind of close to that is something that could potentially happen, especially if it's in the wrong hands. So
I heard Elon say in an interview the other day that there's probably like a 10 to 20% chance that it turns into Skynet, but it's worth it. I was like, 10 to 20% is a pretty high probable. That's a pretty probable chance, brother. We've got to fix that. Just as a side note, you know, we're both fathers. We have young boys. I'm concerned that it's going to be very easy for my young kid to get roped into some weird manipulative relationship. You know, teenage years are tough as a boy. Mm-hmm. You know, you get bullied, you have a hard time, you're not picking up girls. Oh, well, you know, Gloria.ai is here for me every night whenever I need her. That's to me, that's Gloria. A challenge. Gloria, yeah.
Gloria.
So anyway, that's
the right things.
All the right things. Never challenged you. And I don't know about you, but I'm a much better man because of my wife, despite that she drives me nuts sometimes.
100%. 100%. I think it's our jobs as fathers and parents and all the mothers out there listening to equip our kids with the right knowledge and the right experiences so that they can navigate this world that we're in. We're not going to be able to change how things are and where things are going, but we can help our kids understand it. We can help our kids deal and navigate it in hopefully the best way possible. And I think that that's all we can do. You know, and we have to lead by example as well. You know, if we're always on the phone in front of them, what's going to happen? They're going to be on the phone as well and then get access to things. And, you know, I think this is why we put the phones away during dinner. This is why in the car, we're having conversations. We're not on our phones in the car. Like any moment that you have to regulate that, but still show and show up. Is going to be really important. It's one thing to just say, no, don't use that. It's another thing to demonstrate it yourself and lead by example.
Couldn't say it better than myself. I just wish that we lived closer so my boys could be friends with your boy, or my kids could be friends with your kids, because you're raising some great kids there. Back to tech, back to business, back to tech stack. You have a great new email newsletter. You're sending it out with all your best stuff. How are you using AI in email?
Yeah, so in a number of different stages, right? I think the worst thing you could do is tell AI, hey, write me an email for this audience and then just copy paste it, right? But there is a lot of utility that can come with a tool like ChatGPT or Claude if you train it properly. And I think training your AI app to understand who your audience is going to be sort of step one. But then that's often where people finish. It's like, okay, now that I've trained my audience, write this email and then copy paste. No. I want to use AI to brainstorm with, again, like another person I'm in the room with. And whenever I'm in person with another person and we're brainstorming, it's not 1 + 1 = 2. It's like 1 + 1 = 100 when you're in that regard. And Now I have access to a thing like that all the time. So using it to brainstorm and come up with ideas, and it means asking the right follow-up questions or asking it for better answers. Those kinds of things are really important. So I put a seed idea in after training it, and I get more output, and I go, okay, let's kind of see where this takes us. But once I get to a really good subject line, that's where we start. Much like when I create a YouTube video, it actually starts with the subject line, because if people aren't clicking into that email, much like if people aren't clicking into the video, well, that video or email might as well not even exist. So when I get the subject line, that actually is where I start now. And I know that's pretty different for a lot of us who've been in the space for a while, but it has to start with the click. And unfortunately, that's the world we live in now, with everybody fighting for everybody else's attention. Now, the most important part then is to follow up with the promise that that click offered, or that title or subject line offered. And that's when, you know, using ChatGPT to take an idea that I have, and I do write my own emails, but then I put them back into ChatGPT after that seed idea and after that subject line, to then pretty much cut it in half. I go, okay, take my email that I've written, and can you shorten this? Can you get to the point better than I can? Can you get there faster? Can you come up with some metaphors that would hook a person in the beginning of this email, for example? And then typically I will go through and say, hey, please make sure that this is readable for somebody who's at the 10th grade level. 10th grade is typically what I go for. And that seems to work really well and resonate. And the emails have been performing very well. And I think a lot of that is largely due to thinking about the first action that a person is going to take when that email arrives in their inbox, which is the click. So starting with the subject line has been pretty revolutionary. And it's not easy. It's almost an art form, but having that second thing with me when I'm creating that is definitely making it a lot easier.
I love that idea of asking it to condense down what you wrote. You know, that is a skill in of itself. I think it was Stephen King who said great writing is writing something, cutting it in half, and cutting it in half again.
Yeah. Kill your darlings.
Yeah. Extremely difficult, which, you know, extremely difficult, but hey, that's why we have ChatGPT. Are you on ChatGPT or Claude? Do you have a preference right now?
Both. ChatGPT sometimes doesn't like me and it says like, there's some weird activity on your end. I'm like, I haven't even touched you for a while, so I don't know what's going on there. So then I also go to Claude right after, and I find that there's pros and cons to both. They both come up with really good stuff. And for what I need, they basically do the same thing.
Fair enough. You also got your start in website blogs. Prolific blogger, created a lot of passive income through blogging. How does AI change the blogging landscape?
In many different ways. I mean, now we're seeing a lot more content being published than ever. Search engine optimization has been a thing for a lot of people. And a lot of people have been really, really affected by some of the latest Google updates, which have taken into account some AI-related stuff. You know, we don't have to get into the details of that. But, you know, I think it is ever pushing the importance of creating unique content. And I think that with how easy it is to write and come up with stuff, I mean, there's obviously bad players who are just using AI to like machine factory, unload billions of pieces of content all the time and just adding more noise. Or adding more food into this giant buffet that we're all at. And I think where we need to remember is no matter what kind of content we're creating, whether it's a blog, a podcast, or a YouTube video, we need to tell better stories. I think story, in fact, is going to be the one thing that is going to be never really mastered by AI. Yes, there's formulas and frameworks, but there's just something inherent with when a human puts pen to paper or finger to keyboard, when you're telling a story about a real life experience that just cannot be replicated and matched by AI. So that's where I'm leaning in right now, especially in the world of YouTube, is better storytelling. But in the world of blogging, I mean, blogging has definitely taken a backseat to these other more multimedia forms like podcasting and YouTube. And then now there's video podcasting, right? There's sort of a combination of both. So I haven't been blogging as much. I find that I have much more of a chance of getting in front of more people by putting my face on a video or telling a better story on a podcast. And that's where I've been spending most of my time.
Brilliant. What are your favorite tools for producing video with AI? What's your favorite AI tool for video?
Yeah, I mean, I have to give a shout out to Descript. Descript has been really great. They had also acquired Squadcast, a company that I was an advisor for. So I was proud of that. And I'm big fans of Descript to be able to film and screen record and do all the things I need to produce, but then it just makes the editing so much easier. So I can fire out a video very quickly because you can use the automatically generated transcript to actually edit the audio and video. You just delete the part of the transcript that you made a mistake and the video automatically edits. Like it's kind of like magic. And then the ability to insert captions really easily, you know, those are really great. I also find that Opus Clips is really great too, to take these long form videos and chop them up into much smaller ones, and it doing a pretty good job of guessing what the most engaging parts of those conversations are or those longer form videos, making them vertical, adding captions, and then actually explaining here's what's happening during this part. It's kind of wild because I used to pay a agency like $4,000 a month to do that, and it does it in an instant. For what, I don't know, $39 a month or whatever the price is, I don't know, but for much cheaper. So those are a couple video specific tools that I enjoy and wanted to mention here.
Is someone who laboriously edited audio podcasts and wrote transcripts for several years, Descript just it's like magic.
Yeah. It's like magic. And the transcript's pretty much 99% accurate at this point, which is insane. Because a lot of these tools that we once had, like Otter AI, which were like the only in Rev and some other automated transcription tools, you still had to go in there and correct a lot of things. I find I don't have to do that very often anymore. The other cool thing about Descript, two other things, is you can remove all the filler words in an instant, like and like and things like that, which I choose personally not to do because it doesn't sound as natural, at least for my voice, to not have the ums and pauses in there. But the other thing is Descript has this thing where you could you know, I could be looking somewhere else and reading off a script, but then you can click a button and then the eyes will then point to the toward the camera. It uses AI to move the eyes toward the camera. So I could be reading something off my screen. And I find that that works like 80% of the time, because sometimes when I'm not looking at the screen, other parts of my face just don't look like they're naturally looking at the camera. So it works pretty well. And then now there's all these tools coming out where you could, for example, to combine voice and video AI related tools, you could be speaking in another language and it sounds like you, and your mouth is moving with the new language. It's kind of ridiculous. So these are tools that more and more people are getting access to, which is neat, especially with the multiple language thing, because we see a lot of other creators like Mr. Beast actually creating channels and creating dubs for different languages out there to reach entirely new audiences. And I think that part is really, really exciting to me. I know I have a pretty big contingency in Brazil and in Germany. Like, there's these countries that follow SPI. And I imagine, wow, if I actually spoke those languages as well, the audience would be a multiplier of that. And now that's possible. So that's on our list of things to potentially get into very soon.
And you know what, to your point, Mr. Beast is spending, who knows, tremendous resources to repurpose his videos in all the other languages. But if we can use a couple tools, a couple clicks, and it's done, like, it's just, it's amazing to me. One of my video editors showed me a really cool tool. I think it's Autopod add-on for Premiere Pro. Previously, you know, if we're doing an interview like this, he'd have to go through manually and change who's actually the speaker, who's speaking, who's got the video on them. Now he just uses a tool and it does it instantly. He's like, Mark, this just saved me 2 hours of work. Mm-hmm. I was like, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Look, I have another question here for you, Pat, because one of the things that I really appreciate about you coming up was giving me good ideas. And you know, you've got a really good bead on where the world is going, where the trends are, as clearly people can tell. If you were starting from scratch today, what type of business using AI would you lean into?
If I was starting from scratch, my first question that I need to answer is, who am I serving and what do they need help with? AI doesn't even enter the picture until I can see that that can help me amplify the things that I'm doing. So I think the AI question is going to be, you know, step three in the process. Step one being, who am I serving, and just learning about them, having conversations with them. I often get the question, Pat, if you had $1,000 and you were starting over, what would you do? My answer is always, I would go to an industry event in a space that I want to serve. And I would just go there, meet people, see who's on stage, try to talk to them, see who's in the audience and talk to them. Go to the booths, talk to those people, and just learn about this map of the space that I'm in and see, well, where can I set up my shop, or where can I build a home here in this space, and how could I serve them? Step two would be, in fact, understanding the problems and the pains and picking one to help. And then step three would be, okay, now that AI is here, what tools can I use that are out there that can help me help this person solve this problem, right? And then after that, hopefully get them a result. Now I have a testimonial. Now I've unlocked in my brain that, yes, I can actually help people in this space. And then I can just amplify what I've been doing and perhaps use AI to, you know, speed up that process or make it more efficient.
I like that. That sounds very familiar to what Noah Kagan said when I asked him a similar question. He said, listen, I would start by calling people and trying to sell it first.
Always, you know. Always. I mean, why, like, we often try to hide behind our keyboards and our computer screens, but the best way to grow your online business is to get offline. And especially, again, with AI here doing a lot of the on computer stuff, like, let's get off the computer so that we can actually do these things that AI cannot, which is, I mentioned this E word earlier, which is empathize. Let's talk to people. Let's understand them. It's going to be the quickest way to go out there and help somebody.
Could maybe use a little bit more empathy in the world. Maybe just a little bit.
A little bit.
Just a little bit more. Pat, one more question here for you. You speak on a lot of stages, like you mentioned, social media marketing world. You're on all these stages. Have you used any AI presentation builders?
I have. They're not quite where I want them to be yet. You know, Canva has their own. I think Sam Cart acquired a company that has one, like Typeset, I think it's called, or something like that. And they're decent. I mean, if I were to do presentations like at work, where I needed to take a lot of information and it was more bullet point kind of focused, but still helpful, then those tools would be, I would use them in an instant. Absolutely. But the way that I do presentations might be a little different, where the slides actually are there to support the stories that I'm telling. And oftentimes, if you ever see me speak on stage, the slides are essentially just a picture, maybe a word on a slide, because I want people to have the slide reinforce the things that I'm doing and saying on stage. So most of my stage work, and I call it a performance when I'm up on stage, is where am I on the stage? Am I front of the stage for more impactful things? Am I back of the stage because I'm telling a story? Am I moving around? How do I tell that story? How do I create drama? How do I create ups and downs and create a story arc where people are kind of following along, where I could be in a room with no technology and still kill it, right? And this is where I think the slides, again, this is a case of, okay, AI is available and it's a tool, but unless you're telling a good story or unless you know what you're delivering, then the tool doesn't really help that much. So for me, that's speaking for me.
That's been my style historically, is very simple slides, funny images, stuff that keeps things moving. But recently I've transitioned to doing the majority of that, but I'll have several slides that are very complex. Lots of information, lots of data, lists, things like that. And then throughout the presentation, the show, I'll say, hey, by the way, scan this QR code. You can get all the slides for free. Get all the slides. And that's actually been a really good conversion tool for me, from converting viewers in the audience into email, newsletters, calendars, sales, et cetera. Anyway, thought I'd share that. Cool. That's been kind of useful for me. Nice. Melissa, y'all, we've been talking to the one and only, the great Pat Flynn, founder of smartpassiveincome.com. I've been part of his community. He's got over 1,200 entrepreneurs in the community. There's stuff happening like every day. It's nuts. It's bananas. Put a link below. Go check it out. And that's how I got connected with Pat. Maybe you should try it out too. All right.